Chapter 10. Che had decided to stop reflecting on how weird his life was. He was currently trailing after Kim through the halls of his family's mansion, pretending not to know Kim at all. He was wearing a face mask that covered everything but his eyes, and was dressed in a delivery man's uniform that Kim had magicked up from somewhere. He was carrying a box almost the same size as him, stumbling under the awkwardness of it, even though it was empty. "It's for my brother," Kim said, bored and dismissive. And the scary men in suits, who seemed to be everywhere, just let them pass. Their eyes slid over Che completely, like he was a part of the box. "Embarrassing," Kim muttered under his breath. Probably not to Che. "I'm going to do a security audit of this shitty house, and Kin is going to fucking listen to my fucking suggestions." Kim was stressed, to put it mildly. On the ride over, he'd shoved a blueprint of the house in Che's face and told him to memorize it. Che had not done that, but he had drawn a little smiley face in the corner for solidarity. Kim threw open a set of doors, pushed Che inside, and snapped. "Why the fuck are your doors unlocked? I'm not leaving him here if you don't even lock your..." The rest of his words were drowned out by a piercing shriek as a man covered in pink feathers threw his arms around Kim.
"Kim! It's my baby brother!
Oh, look at how you've grown! You're so big!"
Off.
Kim was trying to speak through the man squishing his face between his hands.
"But I missed you,"
the man wailed. The feathers turned out to be an elaborate cape that he was using to mostly smother Kim. This had to be Kun Ten Kun. Che set down the massive box to see him better.
"Hug," Kim grumbled, not making any move to shake his brother off.
"What did you bring me? What did you bring me?"
Ten Kun asked, jumping up and down.
"Nothing, Kun. It was just a decoy."
"Nothing?"
Ten Kun gasped.
"You don't appreciate my love? You scorn me after all this time?"
Che couldn't stop himself from giggling at the theatrics and at the grumpy face Kim was making.
"Yeah, P. Kim," he chimed in. "How could you do that to your brother? Your only brother?"
"You have literally met my second brother," Kim said.
He had pink feathers in his hair. Che wasn't going to tell him.
"It's just the vibe."
"What?"
"You know," Che wiggled his fingers. "The vibe." "Hello? Excuse me."
That was Kun Ten Kun, who was peering over the top of his heart-shaped sunglasses at him.
"Who are you, and are you up for grabs?"
"He is not," Kim said.
Che took off his mask and waved.
"I'm Che. Your cape is really cool. It makes you look like an actress in a K-drama.
Ten Kun narrowed his eyes.
"Which K-drama?"
Probably Legend of the Blue Sea. Ten Kun whipped off his glasses and pointed them at Che.
"I'm keeping you. Kim, I'm keeping him."
"Kun," Kim complained, and oh... was that a pout Che saw? This was incredible.
"What is your full name, small child?"
Ten Kun inquired grandly.
"I am Kun Ten Kun Thirapanyakul."
"I'm Porche Pachaya Kitasawat."
"Kitasawat?"
Ten Kun whipped around and stared at Kim.
"Kitasawat?"
"My brother Porsche works here," Che said.
"Do you know him?"
Really, Kim? Tenkun demanded. Kim folded his arms in front of his chest, shutting down right in front of Che's eyes. He didn't say anything.
Nosy! Always so nosy!
Kun, Kim said tightly. Oh, don't worry. I'm not saying anything. Heavens, it's always drama, drama, drama with you, isn't it? Why do you have to make everything so complicated for yourself? Kim wasn't having fun anymore. His face had gone unhappy and stressed. Che went over to him and nudged their shoulders together. Good thing complicated is my favorite song, huh? The tension around Kim's eyes softened a little. Or hide, depending on your mood. Che smiled helplessly at him. That's right. Tenkun sighed noisily.
Yes, yes, all right. I'll keep him safe for you.
Kim straightened. If anything happens, you call me. Not Ken, not Porsche. Me. Tenkun waved his hands.
Nothing's going to happen, my goodness. I'm supposed to be the crazy one here.
Fine. Kim's warmth slipped away from Che when he moved. I'll send Porsche as soon as I can.
Wait!
Sudden anxiety gripped Che hard. He clung to Kim's sleeve.
Are you leaving?
Yes. Che wasn't as naive as people thought. He knew Kim's family was involved in organized crime, because there was literally no other explanation for a mansion with dozens of guards. He'd seen movies. Kim wasn't going to be filling out spreadsheets over the next few days. Che's fingers curled tighter in Kim's sleeve. Kim was walking into danger. Someone could take him away, like they'd taken away Che's parents. Che needed to let go, but his fingers wouldn't obey him.
Sorry. I know you have to leave. Sorry.
Kim searched his face. Then he gripped Che by the wrist and dragged him into another room, ignoring Tenkun's protests when he kicked the door shut behind them. This room was full of exciting gadgets, but Che wasn't concentrating on anything other than Kim's closeness. Kim caught Che's eyes, even though Che was trying to hide. I'll come back.
You might not, Che said, his voice small. Sometimes people don't.
Kim hesitated. Tell me to, and then I'll have to.
Always this.
Kim, Che said, hurt that Kim was still testing him, even now. Kim made a frustrated sound in the back of his throat and pushed his forehead against Che's. It's not like I don't want to. Che could only smell the two of them, sharpness and sweetness, chill and warmth. Maybe this could help keep Kim safe. Maybe having a bit of Che's power inside him would move his body out of the way of bullets a second faster. Maybe. Che rubbed their noses together.
It would be okay with you?
It's okay.
Please come back.
Kim pressed his forehead harder into Che's. No. Really, tell me. Che took all the love he had for Kim and turned it into power. He whispered into Kim's ear,
come back to me.
Kim's scent turned soft and lovely. He made a little noise that would have been a purr if he'd let it go on longer. They let it settle between them, and Kim stayed relaxed and pleased,
like he'd gotten something he wanted. Che's fingers finally let go of his sleeve. When Kim drew back, one of his secret smiles lurked in his eyes. Well, if it means that much to you, I guess I will. It made Che laugh, despite everything. Kim's smile turned a little less secret. All right, Che said, giving him a gentle push. Go. Find my brother for me, huh?
I will.
And then Kim was gone, slipping out the door and leaving Che behind. Che spent a minute with his hands over his face, fighting back both a smile and tears. Kim made him feel so much. When he got himself together, he went into the other room where Kun Ten Kun was waiting, eyebrows raised.
Well, Ten Kun said.
Che's face flooded with embarrassment.
Hi.
Ten Kun stalked over to him, pink feathers flapping. He didn't have much of a scent. It could have been some really good scent blockers, but it seemed different, almost like there wasn't much to block to begin with.
Does Kim always treat you like that?
Ten Kun asked. Che felt defensiveness rise with the knowledge of how the last few minutes must have looked from the outside.
I know P. Kim can come across as cold, but he's really kind to me.
Ten Kun stared at him.
Cold? He was just shut down because he was stressed. My sweet little poor Che, are you telling me that you've seen my brother express more emotions than that? Without mind control drugs of any kind?
Che laughed. Ten Kun did not. He was watching Che intently, searching for something.
I mean, yeah, Che said, in case he was looking for the truth. Does he close his eyes around you?
When he's asleep?
Asleep.
Ten Kun's stare burned into Che. He was a more intimidating alpha than Kun Kin, in a weird way. There was a promise of a threat, but not quite explicit enough to push back against. With Kun Kin, Che had known exactly what he was getting into. With Kun Ten Kun, he wasn't quite sure.
Porche Pichaya Kitasawat, what are your intentions with my brother?
Ten Kun wasn't a strong alpha, but his strength didn't matter. Kim loved him, and Che appreciated anyone who tried to protect Kim. Ten Kun deserved his respect. If they were actually going to have this conversation, Che was going to be sure he gave it. Che dropped his eyes in submission. Ten Kun made a funny little choking sound.
I really like him, Che said. I want him to be happy. I want to keep him safe.
You know he's hiding stuff from you, right?
Respectfully, Kun Ten Kun, I'm used to people in my life hiding things. P. Kim does it less than Porsche.
Kin told me about the other night, what you did to the men who attacked you.
Che lowered his head a bit more. Thinking about that night still made him feel queasy.
I'd never do anything like that to my pack. Honest. It's just that those guys were trying to hurt everyone, and I couldn't let them take anyone away. People always get taken away, and I really hate it when people leave. I hate it.
Ah, no.
Ten Kun swept his cape around him, and Che was enveloped in warm, feathery softness. Che had just barely gotten his tears under control before, and this was enough to bring them to the surface again. He hugged Ten Kun tightly, and got a hint of his faint citrus smell. Tenkun's arms were warm and solid around him.
"It's all right," he said. "You're with Tenkun now. Nothing bad happens in these rooms."
Che sniffled into his shoulder for a little bit. Kun Tenkun was obviously an older brother, because he knew the drill. He patted Che's back and told him Kim would be all right and that Che was safe. And honestly, it was all very nice. Maybe a little bit embarrassing, but nice. Tenkun ruffled Che's hair.
"I can already tell you're going to be easier to raise. Kim has a mind like one of those escape rooms."
Che leaned into the touch.
"I like him so much."
"That's good," Tenkun said, something hard in his voice, even as his hand stayed gentle.
"That is very, very good."
Kim stormed through the house with a singular objective. Find Porsche and send him to Che, so that Che would no longer have tears in his eyes. Bodyguards scattered on his approach. He snapped to one, "Where is Porsche?" and was given a stammering reply that sent him down to the training gyms. Kim hated this place. It stank like alphas and betas hyped up on adrenaline. He'd broken every toe on his left foot in this gym. He'd done it methodically and intentionally, and Kim had been so terrified that he'd accidentally commanded him to "Stop, Kim! Stop!" Kim shook off the bad memories and plunged into the gym. Porsche was easy to spot. He was on the mats, sparring with Pete. They were both moving in fast, a graceful blur of violence. Kim had technically seen Porsche fight before, but he hadn't exactly been watching. Now, though, he could pay attention. Porsche was very good. If they fought, Kim bet he'd win against Porsche in the end. But oh, he'd have to work for it. That sounded like fun. Porsche disengaged, panting and bright-eyed. He saw Kim and waved, more happily than Kim had expected.
"I hear you're coming with us on the mission," Porsche called.
"Us?"
"Oh yeah, Pete and I are coming too. Not to brag, but I was specially requested, unlike this chump."
Porsche gave the words a wry twist when he hooked his thumb at Pete. But Kim was not convinced that he understood how much of an honor this was not.
"Tenkun needs you in his rooms," Kim said, instead of lecturing him.
Porsche grimaced.
"Can it wait?"
"No."
"Okay, okay. Sorry, man," he said to Pete.
"It's all right. Kun Kim," Pete addressed him unexpectedly, with a respectful nod,
"would you like to spar for a few rounds?"
People did not offer to train with Kim. Omegas shouldn't fight, and people didn't know what to do with the ones who did. But Pete seemed to mean it. He reminded Kim a little bit of Che when he was being particularly earnest. And Pete had been fighting with Porsche, and he hadn't been taking it easy on him. If Kim didn't let out some of his rage at being in this house and away from Che, he was going to do something he'd regret.
"Fine," Kim said shortly.
"Ooh," Porsche said, delightedly. "Careful, Pete. I've seen him, and he's a demon."
Pete looked even more nervous. Kim liked that. His Omega preened at the approval in an older Omega's voice. "Whatever." After a quick and silent warm-up, Kim stepped onto the mats and launched himself at the bodyguard. It became immediately apparent that Pete was highly competent. That comforted Kim, knowing Tenkun and Kin had him at their side. He was smart and fast, and he even managed to take Kim down once. It felt good, hitting the mats. It also felt good to spring up and sweep Pete's legs out from under him. Porsche, staying to watch in blatant disregard of his orders, cheered for both indiscriminately. That felt good, too. When Kim put Pete down for the second time, they took a pause. For the first time since coming into this house, Kim felt slightly more settled in his skin. He nodded to Pete, who nodded back with a smile. Against his own will, Kim glanced at Porsche for his reaction. Porsche was watching with interest, head tipped to the side, like he was seeing something he didn't quite understand. He asked, "Why do you do it like that?"
"What are you talking about?"
Porsche bounced closer, all energy and enthusiasm.
"The way you fight with all your instincts locked down. Why do you do that?"
Only the fact that he was Che's brother stopped Kim from decking him. He had thought he and Porsche were relatively chill. Why was this asshole making fun of him?
"Yeah, I'll be sure to use them the next time I need to cuddle someone to death."
"Are you being serious?"
Kim hated feeling unsure. He hated feeling stupid. This happened every time he tried to talk to an Omega other than Vegas. They all seemed to just know things, like they'd all been given an Omega handbook at birth. Kim turned his back on Porsche, but Porsche protested.
Wait, come back, Nong. Please? Pretty please?"
Talking to Porsche would make Che happy.
"Hug. A hug."
Kim turned around, arms crossed.
"What?"
he snapped. Porsche beamed at him. It was tough to stay mad at a guy who looked that happy to talk to him, but Kim was determined to do it.
"Look, you're an amazing fighter," Porsche said frankly. "Just want to know why you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back."
"I'm not."
"You totally are. Here, watch this." He rounded on Pete.
"Pete, wanna embarrass yourself one more time while trying to kick my ass?"
Pete grinned at him.
"I always want to kick your ass."
Porsche laughed.
"Not what I asked, but okay."
Theoretically, Pete and Porsche were evenly matched. But Porsche reacted just a bit faster. He started moving right when Pete did. He was, Kim realized with a jolt, somehow anticipating Pete's moves. It was the only explanation for what he was seeing. Pete tried a feint to the left, and Porsche moved with him like they'd rehearsed the move together. Then he ducked in close, and suddenly Kim could smell him, sweet and caramelly. Pete blinked, wavered, and then Porsche had him on his back in a chokehold. Pete tapped out, and Porsche pulled him to his feet.
"Someday," Pete threatened good-naturedly.
"In your dreams," Porsche cooed, capturing him in a hug and using it as an excuse to rub his sweat all over him.
"Gross,"
Pete complained, shoving him off. Porsche went over to Kim and waved his hands as if to say, "Ta-da! Figure it out? Or do you want a hint?"
"Shut up,"
Kim said automatically. Kim honestly had no idea how Porsche had anticipated Pete's moves like that, but he would rather never know than ask. Fortunately, Che seemed to have gotten all the patience in the Kitasawad family. Porsche didn't drag it out.
Okay, you know that instinct we have to give people what they want?"
Porsche asked excitedly.
"Like, when you look at someone and just kind of know what would make them happy?"
Kim had always thought he was shameless, but he felt his face heat. That wasn't something to just talk about in public. Porsche was looking at him like he wanted an answer. Kim gave a very tiny nod. So it's those same instincts, anticipating what their body wants, what it's going to do, how it's going to react to you. You just unfocus your brain a little and let your instincts push you around a bit. They'll usually push you in the right direction. Kim had been told again and again that a fight wasn't a place for an Omega. So he'd kept his Omega out of it when they'd put a gun in his hands. What else had he been supposed to think? Fuck. This was... fuck.
Who taught you about that? Kim asked, keeping his voice steady.
Porsche laughed, this time a little rueful.
No one. You're telling me you figured it out yourself?
Well, with Che, obviously, Porsche said, like that was a foregone conclusion.
Che does not know how to fight, Kim said. Sure about that, at least.
Nah, but he can tussle with the best of them. Unlike the rest of this conversation, that was nice information to have.
Go see Tan-kun, Kim said, just to make it stop.
Porsche nudged his shoulder, exactly like Che had nudged his shoulder earlier.
Hey, ignore me if you want. I don't know shit about being a proper Omega.
Kim raised an eyebrow. Porsche was a perfect pack Omega, warm and friendly and strong. Kim had to fight his pull every time they talked. He'd assumed Porsche had a large group of Omega friends who all did Omega things together. Porsche's smile had turned a little awkward. I presented late, and then I spent my time fighting or fucking for tips, so other Omegas weren't exactly lining up to associate with me. Just once, Kim wished he could have a conversation with a Kitasawa that didn't leave him breathless. His throat clenched. Kim was together with Porsche. He didn't seem to think that Porsche was a... anyway.
Go see Tan-kun.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. When Porsche left, Kim stood still because it felt like the floor under him had shifted in some strange, unnameable way. It hadn't. Everything was the same. And yet... Pete offered Kim a bottle of water.
Porsche can be a lot, he said. But he means well.
Pete had seen more than Kim was comfortable with. He'd seen Kim the other night, too, on a mission that no one was supposed to know about. Kim stared him down with his best glare. Pete faltered, then took back the water bottle. He smiled instead, a smile that knew more than it let on.
I'll see you in the briefing, Kun Kim.
The moment of calm Kim had experienced while fighting was gone. He felt unmoored. He wanted Che's scent, and so he raised his sleeve to his nose to catch a hint of him. It wasn't enough. All of which meant that by the time he saw the Minor family in the hallway, Kim was ready to snap. Uncle Gunn greeted Kim with that condescending air he always used, his alpha scent weaker than Korn's, but just as cloying. Vegas's mouth was cut in the corner. The shimmer of makeup on his cheeks spoke to other bruises he was hiding, but Kim was angry enough not to care. This was all Vegas's fault. Gunn went into the meeting room, but Kim slammed his hand against the wall, blocking Vegas's path. Vegas put on an air of surprise.
Oh, hello, cousin.
What are you doing? Kim demanded.
I just wanted our best on my mission. Can you blame me?
No one is supposed to know that I'm the best. Vegas's eyes burned into Kim. He kept his tone light, but his spicy smell kicked up a notch when he said,
Maybe it's time they learn.
Do not say anything.
Right. We wouldn't want our precious leader to find out something that might make him uncomfortable.
Vegas was threatening Ken. Vegas was the reason Che was locked in this house of horrors instead of somewhere good and full of sunlight. Vegas had ordered Kim here. Violence curled through Kim's veins. He let it bleed into his smile and saw wariness creep into Vegas's eyes.
If you fuck with my family, I'll poison Macau.
That wiped the smirk off Vegas's face.
Excuse me?
You know I can make it happen, Kim said, low and deadly. One of your bodyguards will get sloppy eventually. I'll find poisons that leave him alive. I'll paralyze him. I'll give him brain damage.
Vegas was a coiled spring. If you touch him...
Don't test me, and I won't. Vegas bared his teeth at him, something wild in it.
These alpha bastards aren't worth all this, Kim Han. Do you honestly think anything would change if Kim knew what your father sends you to do?
Honestly, Kim wasn't sure. He always told himself that he didn't tell his brothers what was happening, because they'd be in danger if they tried to stop it. But the truth was, he wasn't actually sure how hard they would try. Theirs was a dirty business, after all. They all had to do dirty things. Kim was enough of a coward to prefer an unproven fantasy to a reality where his brothers thanked him for his help and moved on. Vegas caught his hesitation. He hissed the words like venom into Kim's ears.
If I told Kim that his Omega brother was a killer and a whore, he'd probably be first in line to pimp you out.
Kim's punch caught Vegas right in his bruised mouth. Vegas staggered back, laughing, blood in his teeth. Kim lunged at him and ran smack into the solid bulk of Porsche's chest.
Hey, hey, what the hell?
Kim twisted in his grip, but Porsche twisted with him and held his arms. Vegas was leaning against the wall, wiping blood off his lip. Vegas snarled wordlessly at Porsche, but Porsche didn't snarl back. He just held Kim tightly and pulled him close. Porsche's sweet scent was everywhere, calming the tension in the air. Porsche's shirt smelled like Che. It made Kim's breath catch for a second. Porsche gave him a knowing glance.
Just breathe, Nong. Calm down, huh? Save it for the Italians.
Kim breathed in Che's scent and imagined he was anywhere other than here. And you, Porsche said, Kun Vegas, can we please refrain from provoking the pup?
Sure, Vegas said, all geniality.
He ran his tongue over the new cut on his lip, his eyes dark when they rested on Kim.
We were only playing, right, Kim?
Right, Kim managed.
Uh-huh.
Porsche rubbed his thumb in a circle on Kim's arm. He was so much like Che. It was soothing.
What's happening here?
Great. Here was Kim. Porsche was the only one who looked happy to see him, perking up immediately to say,
Nothing.
Kim's scent was a warning when he placed himself in front of Porsche and Kim.
Vegas, Leave my brother alone.
The smile Vegas gave him was pure hatred. Of course. Shall we go in?
Ken looked back at Kim, holding his eyes in a question. Kim gave him a short nod, and only then did Ken say, All right.
Something in Kim's scent must have given him away, though, because Ken paused in the doorway after Porsche and Vegas entered the meeting room. He stood in such a way that Kim could slip past or choose to brush against him on his way in, an offering for a subtle scenting. Even if Ken found out and put Kim to work for the family, Kim would still love him. Kim brushed their arms together as he walked into the room. He had Che, Tan-kun, Porsche, and now Ken on his clothes. When he sat down beside Korn, Kim could barely smell his father at all. Author's notes. Kim, writing with one of those sparkly gel pens. Dear Diary, today Porsche said I was good at fighting, and Che bossed me around. Best day ever.